This is the glorious day on which Christ himself, the Savior of the world, appeared. The prophets foretold him, the angels worshipped him, the magi saw his star and rejoiced to lay their treasures at his feet. God's holy day has dawned for us at last. Come, all you people, adore the Lord. The magi saw his star and rejoiced to lay their treasures at his feet. Today we celebrate the great solemnity of the Epiphany, which is the day for us that has had so many meanings over the centuries. In the first place, we recognize the fulfillment of what the prophet Isaiah foretold and which we heard in the first reading about what will happen when the Lord, the Messiah, comes to Israel. You, Jerusalem, shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you, the wealth of all nations brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you from Midian and Ephah. In the second century, St. Irenaeus helped us see the meaning of these gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which helps signify and proclaim the deep reality of this day, the mystery of the Word who had become flesh. Gold is a symbol of royalty, representing the kingship of Jesus over all time and history. Frankincense used in worship. Did you notice that the frankincense verse happened right as we started incensing today? I mean, come on. Jay's an amazing organist, I guess. Frankincense used in worship represents his divinity, Emmanuel, God is with us. And to the prophecy in Isaiah 60, today is added the gift of myrrh. Myrrh is a gum-like resin taken from a species of thorny tree and has been used for centuries as a remedy for all kinds of things. Indigestion, ulcers, arthritis, and leprosy. It is truly an earthy substance, and it represents the humanity of Jesus. Myrrh was also used at the time of Jesus to help prepare bodies for burial, so this gift foretells his passion and his death. In the second place, the church has long used the Feast of the Epiphany when the three magi, who were likely Eastern astrologers, followed a star to see where it might lead them. Our calendar and our clocks are based on the movement of the heavens, and the feast of all feasts, Easter, is celebrated. Anybody know how you figure it out? Is celebrated on the Sunday after the first full moon, after the spring equinox. Got it? So on this day, each year, when the stars have led us to Bethlehem, the church announces with great joy the dates of the movable feasts of the year: Ash Wednesday, Easter, Ascension, Pentecost, which I will do at the end of the homily. Thirdly, Epiphany announces once and for all that while salvation will come from the Jews, the chosen race, God's salvation will be for all people across every time and place. In the Psalms, David sang, "All the nations that you have brought into being will come and fall down in adoration in your presence and glorify your name. The Lord has made known his salvation in the sign of the nations. He has revealed his justice." But today, I would like to draw out a fourth aspect of this awe-filled celebration. Yes, Jesus has been born, the Word of the Father now in flesh appearing, and we have come and we continue to come to adore him. We're captivated by the mystery of Christmas. We're filled with a sense of new wonder and awe, particularly today, at the possibilities that might lay latent in this new year, and we are helped in our wonder by the first major snowfall, which has made everything bright and new. I don't really want to add another voice to the chorus of, man, 2021, huh? What a year. A lot of struggle and difficulty. Here's to a better 2022. But like, man, 2021, huh? What a year. Look, I'm struck by the number of times and ways that people in the last couple of days have said things like, hoping for a better year, I just know 2022 will be better. Hope is a very interesting virtue and is so essential for life. In people who are facing difficulties, no matter how strong, hope is usually the last light still burning in the window, even if very small and dim, even when the other virtues seem to have been extinguished. And by virtue of our baptism into Christ, we have experienced in our souls, whether we're consciously calling it to mind or not, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Therefore, we Christians are de facto a people of hope. But for what do we hope? Well, we hope for better days, for peace, for health, for joy, for harmony and unity in our families, for at least some semblance of success in our lines of work and hobbies. Yesterday, I started building a 9,000-piece model of the Titanic with Legos. So I'm hoping for some semblance of success with that. My brother bought that for Christmas. It'll be 5 feet long when it's done. But how do we still find reasons for hope after so much evidence that the true realization of all these desires, better days, peace, health, joy, harmony, all the evidence that the true realization of these desires is actually quite rare? Christianity gives a lot of things to the daily lives of the people who believe in Jesus. And one of the most important daily practical changes that happens in the Christian over time is that she or he begins to see things differently and to read what they see through a different lens. Epiphany comes from the Greek word epiphaneia, which means manifestation or striking appearance. It refers to a festival held in commemoration of the appearance of a god at some particular place. That word, epiphaneia, comes from the word epiphanes, which means to manifest, to make conspicuous, to show off, to come suddenly into view. These words are a combination of two other Greek words, epi and phanein. I'm not very good at pronouncing Greek. Don't tell anyone. The prefix epi means on, near, or at, or against. I actually used to think that an EpiPen was called that because you slammed it against your leg. As many of you know, it's called an EpiPen because it injects a rapid dose of epinephrine, also called adrenaline. Did you know that nephron in Greek is the word for kidney? And that epinephrine and adrenaline have the same name because the adrenal glands are located on epi, the nephrons, the kidneys, epinephron, epiphany, epi. Okay, this is cool to me. I was on vacation all week, which means I had a whole week to write this thing. Phanein is the Greek word meaning to show, but again, this word has a much more ancient word at its root. It's the word ba, B-A-B-H-A, which is where we get fa, and it means to shine. Think of photo, photon, shining, we can see it. So an epiphany, we can say, is a particular manifestation or striking appearance of something brilliant and related to God, divine, which comes suddenly and conspicuously into our view. And the effect that such an event can really have is something like an EpiPen injection, but for the soul. Sudden and perhaps life-saving effects. But for an epiphany to have any effect on the soul, it must be on a soul that is awake and watchful, filled with hope for the coming of the divine. And this, I think, is the reason for our Christian hope. We know that God is able to do what he says he will do. And I think, even if only one time, and a very long time ago, maybe, I think each of us have felt or seen or noticed or heard or experienced a moment, a word, a phrase, a song, a sunrise, an encounter with another person in which it became clear to us beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is not only able to do what he says he'll do, but he's actually doing it What else could sustain us in hope as we move into another year than the belief that God is who he says he is and is accomplishing for us everything he promised to accomplish? And the fun and the joy, but also the sadness and the difficulty of all of this is that he is giving us exactly what our hearts have always wanted, but he's doing it in a way that we, with our littleness of vision, could never have concocted on our own. And so as it takes place and manifests itself before us, we don't always recognize it because we're too busy looking for what we wanted to see rather than seeing what's actually there. In this way, we can see that the personal and the particular histories that each one of us is living and the difficulties and tragedies of this life are not for nothing. And that no matter what you have brought with you into this place today, you do not have to carry it out of here. And if you do carry it out of here, you will not be carrying it alone. If today you are hearing the lie that what you have done or where you have been disqualifies you from a life of holiness or from the experience of an epiphany, I am speaking directly into your heart when I remind you that that is a lie. And the whole world lies open before a truly repentant heart. The whole world lies open before a truly repentant heart. So here is the heart of this fourth aspect of the Epiphany. Yes, salvation is available in Christ to all nations, whoever, wherever they may be. But here in Naperville, today, here in this particular place, is the truth that salvation has come to this city, to this church, to this time, to this people. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 60, right near the end of his books. There's 66 chapters. And the lectionary today only gave us 6 verses, even though the chapter has 22 verses. So by way of conclusion, let me read to you the words of Isaiah, addressed to a people walking in darkness, recovering from exile and captivity, who have finally seen the promise of the Lord being fulfilled for them. Once, Jerusalem, you were forsaken, hated, and unvisited. Now I will make you the pride of the ages, a joy to generation after generation. In place of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, silver. In place of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will appoint peace your governor and justice your ruler. No longer shall violence be heard of in your land or plunder and ruin within your boundaries. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. No longer shall the sun be your light by day, nor the brightness of the moon shine upon you by night, for the Lord shall be your light forever, and God will be your glory. No longer shall your sun go down or your moon withdraw, for the Lord will be your light forever, and the days of your sadness shall be at an end. The smallest shall become a thousand, the youngest a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will swiftly accomplish all these things.